Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, why is Big Ben catching so much heat from his former Steelers teammates? Plus, Errol Spence Jr. is on set discussing last weekend's big win and why he set his sights on Manny Pacquiao. And who is the best team in the NBA's Eastern Conference? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. Our next guest dominated Mikey Garcia on Saturday night at Jerry World to retain his welterweight championship. He's now a perfect 25-0, and he even called out Manny Pacquiao after the fight. Errol Spence Jr., welcome to Undisputed.
Yes, sir.
Boy, all right, you dominated Garcia on Saturday. So were you frustrated at all? You really couldn't put him away?
Not really, because I think I showed a different dimension to my game.
For sure.
Because coming out, doing the whole press tour, people were saying I was going to bully him and just use, you know, brute strength to beat him.
Right.
And I showed, you know, skills. I showed, you know, I had a great jab. I could box. And I think overall I showed my boxing IQ.
You did. But you were able to hit him whatever you wanted. The jab was working. The left, you were southpaw. You was going right down Main Street through the guard. But the guy came up two weight classes. You're supposed to be able to put him away, Earl.
Yeah, I mean, after watching the fight, I think I could have put him away. Right. But, you know, I just wanted to show a different game.
Right.
I think I wanted to show that I could box. I do have skills. It's not all just coming forward and just fighting hard. Because a lot of people try to compare me just, you know, to Marvin Hagler.
Right.
And I got different dimensions in my game than just coming forward. I can box, too. Because I just wanted to show that I can outbox him. And I think I got more credit beating him that way instead of just running him over.
I give him some credit. I kept tweeting this. It's going to be a moral victory for him if he can finish this fight on his feet, because there were times I didn't think he was going to last. It wasn't like you were trying to put him away, but I give him credit. He's got a jaw now. He can take some shots because he took a bunch from you. I think he's got a big heart to him. He's got some guts. Did he earn a little of your respect just standing in?
He definitely earned my respect, standing in and even just taking a fight. Because a lot of these welterweights, you know, didn't want to take that opportunity.
What you trying to
fight.
Say?
A lot of them ducking me.
I mean, Skip, you heard what
he
said?
There we go. Yeah.
Hold on. What you trying to say? You trying to say Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, they ducking you?
Definitely. I mean, like I said, the Mikey Garcia fight probably wouldn't have happened if Sean Porter would have took the fight. When he fought Danny Garcia, I got in the ring and told him, let's make this fight happen. He said, okay, it's easy to be made. After that, he took his mandatory instead of fighting me, so I took Mikey Garcia.
Are you saying he is afraid of you?
I'm not saying he's afraid of me. I'm just saying he doesn't want to get in there just yet.
But y'all know, you told a man he couldn't sell out his family reunion. So how is he gonna, why is he going to fight you when you talking crazy about it?
That should make him want to fight me more. I mean, we're boxers, so if a guy, you know,
so you keep jugging, you antagonizing that man.
Yeah, I mean, antagonizing him, he definitely should take the fight then.
I know one man who can sell out lots of family reunions, and that's Manny Pacquiao, and you were campaigning for him after the fight. He was in the ring with you, and you called him over, and he was a little sheepish about it because I'm not sure he wants a piece of you either. You would like a piece of the money that he could bring to the ring, right?
Definitely. I think it makes sense. You know, he holds the record at the AT&T Stadium, selling 51,000 plus. You know, I did 48,000. I mean, he's a huge pay-per-view draw, as you see, when he fought Adrian Broner. He's a future Hall of Famer, and he's a guy that I watched, you know, from a kid. And, you know, he's just a great fighter, and I would love to have that fight. I think he'll sell out great at the AT&T Stadium.
Uh-huh.
70,000 plus.
You want that dub on your resume that you put Pacquiao to sleep. That's what you want on your resume.
Well, definitely. Your idols become your rivals. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. Unfortunately, your idol rival is 40 years of age.
Yeah, he go around beating up old people.
I mean, that's true. But, I mean, he also, you know, beat Adrian Broner too on pay-per-view. So, he has a win. It's not like he's coming off a loss.
No.
I mean, he beat Luke Matisse too. So,
I keep getting quotes sent to me by Manny's PR man, and he is campaigning through the PR man for Floyd. He wants a Floyd rematch because at least Floyd's, what's he, 42?
He's older than Manny.
Yeah, Manny is 2 years old.
Yeah, Manny is 40. Yeah. He's 42. Yeah. Man, stop. Leave Floyd alone.
Well,
Floyd
retired. Manny wants that payday, and you want the Manny payday,
no,
right?
Tell him you'll fight Floyd too.
I think we'll have a great payday at AT&T Stadium.
I know. Would you take it easy on Manny? In your heart of hearts, would you go in and take it easy on him?
No.
You tried
no.
to get him up out of there.
Huh? I gotta get him up out of there.
No, I mean, this is...
My motto is man down.
Yeah. Well, I compared it the other day. I covered Ali's last fight in the Bahamas against Trevor Burbick, and it was the saddest thing I ever watched because Ali was just a shell of himself. And I don't want to see... I love Manny, and I don't want to see you just punish Manny and, like knock him into retirement.
Well, I mean, he should retire then if he don't want to fight the top guys in the division.
But you got to be careful now. He still, hey, he can still punch now.
Oh, he can still
and
fight.
And you know, in fights now with the throw punches, you got to take some.
Oh, definitely. I'm not worried about that at all.
So you don't listen. You just look at him and just go bully that man.
Oh, I'm not going to bully him. I mean, I'm just, you know, I feel like, you know, he's a great fighter. I feel like he's going to be competitive.
Right.
Because Pacquiao has heart. Pacquiao has amazing heart.
He definitely has.
I mean, he's a warrior. He's a guy that's, you know, that's going to fight. And he's going to give it his all. He's not scared of anyone. So I think it is going to be a tough fight because he's not going to just lay down.
Right. And he's a southpaw also.
He's a southpaw too. Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to have to really sit down on them punches unless you catch him with one of the Marquez where he just walks into it and you throw it at the same time.
He just got bored. I mean, that was like the fifth fight.
Errol said, I hope he get bored in my fight so I can catch him with one.
Definitely.
So would you like to knock out Manny Pacquiao? Would that make you happy?
Definitely. I'd like to knock out all my
opponents. All right.
So you fight Pacquiao, the fight goes the way you plan, you win, decision, knock him out. Do you think, if you beat Pacquiao, you actually think Thurman or Sean Porter going to take a fight with you?
Definitely. I feel like they don't have anybody else to fight. Mm. And I feel like now I'm transitioning. Like one of my other models I always used to say on Twitter is tables turn. When I was 13 and 0, you know, I was calling out these guys. They didn't want to fight me. Mm. But now, you know, Sean Porter's a little bit more open. After my fight, he said he would like that fight. You know, Keith Thurman still keeping the same energy, saying we're not going to fight till 2020. So
what he waiting on?
I don't know what he waiting on. Hmm. I've been calling out Keith Thurman for a long time.
You have?
A long, long time. And, you know, he's never mentioned my name.
What about you at 140? You going to move up?
It could be a possibility.
What do you walk around at? What's your walk around weight? Be honest.
Probably 170.
Yeah, there we go. Well, you said the other day, 175?
Yeah, 170, 175. Because you're probably two weight classes down. I mean, you blocks two weight classes down. You could literally box at 60, easy.
Yeah, I could fight at 60, 54.
Ooh. Ooh.
They throw leather up there. Yeah. You know they throw, as you go up in weight, they throw leather.
I give leather too.
Oh, okay, that's what I like to hear. That's why I be watching your fight.
So, the greatest boxer ever was?
Ali.
Ali because?
Because not only, you know, he beat a lot of great champions, but, you know, it's what he did outside the ring too that, you know, added in there too. So, you know, he beat, you know, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, you know, all these great athletes, but, you know, what he was outside the ring and what he stood for and things like that, you know, makes him, you know, the all-time great. So, you know, I have to say Ali.
In your division, the 147, there were a lot of great fighters in that division.
Yep.
From Hearns, Leonard, yourself, Mayweather. Who's the best welterweight of all time?
Of all time? I would have to say Ray Leonard.
I agree. Thank you.
Better than Floyd?
Yeah.
I mean, Ray Leonard was in the golden era, man.
Oh, they fought back then.
Like, you know, he was fighting, you know, Tommy Hearns and
Duran
and, you know, Hagler and all these, you know, Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they was fighting in their prime, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
There wasn't ducking and dodging back then.
Like, Floyd's a great fighter, you know. And, you know, he broke a lot of records and did a lot of great things, like, phenomenal, like. If Floyd and Sugar Ray fought each other, you know, I'd probably say Floyd would beat Sugar Ray.
No, he wouldn't.
In his prime?
Yes, he
would. Like a lot of people.
Wait a second. Ray's is Floyd with offense.
You talking about money, Mayweather. Mm-hmm. Now, we talk about Pretty Boy. Yeah. Pretty Boy had offense. Pretty Boy was fighting. Pretty Boy was stopping guys. And Pretty Boy was a lot more offensive than Money Mayweather. That was like Money is like the older one where he was, you know, his hands was hurting and, you know, he was more after revenue than, you know, than fighting.
I like that. He was after revenue. He got revenue.
Yeah.
Right?
He did.
No one's ever gotten revenue.
I like what you said, Errol. Idols become your rivals. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll be seeing that in the future. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being here, for your time, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Boy, good to have you.
No mercy.
Le'Veon Bell is the latest former Steeler to call out Ben Roethlisberger. Bell signed with the Jets last week, and he told Sports Illustrated that Ben wasn't the only factor in him wanting to leave the Steelers, but, quote, it was a factor. He went on to say, Ben wants to win, but Ben wants to win his way, and that's tough to play with. Ben won a Super Bowl, but he won when he was younger. Now he's at this stage where he tries to control everything, and the team let him get there. But Big Ben's teammate, Marquise Pouncey, defended his quarterback on Instagram, saying, I've been with Ben going on 10 years. I swear on my kids, he is a true leader. Sucks to see players who leave and are mad at the organization now try and point fingers like they are perfect. But this is the world we live in now. So we are joined by Rob Parker this morning. Rob,
good
to have you with us.
Rob, what's happening?
Whose side are you on here, Rob?
I'm on all the Steelers who are pointing at Big Ben. It's obvious to me that Big Ben is the problem. And, you know this, Shannon, from offensive player and a quarterback having a bond with their quarterback. You even remember T.O. boo-hooing about my quarterback.
That was all put on.
Right, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Yep, stop. But they're called crocodile tears. He cried.
Crocodile tears.
And you have a special relationship with, right, John Elway? Okay. It's when you see these players now break a bond from a guy who during their tenure there, it's not like they didn't put up numbers or he couldn't get them to football.
Right.
They did nothing but excel with Big Ben. We saw six of the greatest years by AB for a wide receiver.
In NFL history.
Yes, in NFL history. We saw Le'Veon Bell, 406 touches the last time he played. The year before, the success he had both running the football and catching the football out of the backfield. So all of these things are positives.
Right.
So for them to go in turn and say, no, there's something wrong here, something stinks here, and it's Ben, you got to believe in it. These aren't bitter guys who didn't get theirs and are questioning and saying...
They're not bitter?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint that he wasn't good enough to help them along to be great. Those are the quarterbacks you look at and go, man, if I had a real quarterback, I would be good. I'd be in the Pro Bowl. I'd be getting paid. Say Blake Bortles or somebody like that. That might be the guy.
Who Skip believed in last year.
I did not. I just said he torched Belichick,
which he did.
Well, he did. The Lions torched Belichick.
Yeah, everybody, except in Super Bowl and in the playoffs.
But it started in the previous Super Bowl.
Don't do that, Skip.
Yeah. And then I think for so many guys to come out and say that this is what's going on, it's one thing if there's one bitter guy and he leaves the organization and he didn't really get what he wants, but it's just way too many guys to believe that Ben's not a part of the problem. And you even heard Colbert, the GM, and when he said that he's the unquestioned leader and whatnot.
52 kids.
Yeah, everybody else was called, all these grown men were called kids under Big Ben. And don't forget, Skip, when they had the big, whether or not they were going to protest with the Kaepernick, and they all decided to stay inside the locker room the next day, who was it who said that was a mistake and blasted Tomlin? It was Big Ben. He all of a sudden...
James Harrison sat right in that seat and said that when we went to bed that night, we were going to stay in the locker room or the tunnel where we couldn't be seen during the playing of the national anthem.
Okay, so whose fault is it?
All I know is Big Ben said he was upset at Tomlin and he shouldn't have done it. That's what he said.
And if you're the real leader, then you should have spoke up that day
that night, and said,
I'm not a part of this. I don't want to do it.
He didn't, but
he went along with the group, and then you can't do it the next day. So all I'm saying is, for all the success that Big Ben's had, and he's had a lot, right? Two Super Bowls. I get all that. But it doesn't mean as you get older and as you get more clout, you decide that you're going to do things your way. And I believe what these players are saying against
him. So, Rob Parker's conclusion is they traded the wrong guy. They should have traded Roethlisberger, right?
That's not what he said.
I believe that's where you're headed.
Because it's not just that. It's also the organization, which hasn't paid a lot of their players as well. So the Steelers have a couple things working.
Okay.
They wanted Le'Veon Bell to take another transition, right?
Franchise tag.
After he touched the ball 406 times, after he's put up all these numbers, they didn't want to pay him. So that was part of it. He said it was a factor, not the factor.
Right. You want me to go or you want to go?
You should go.
You sure?
Yep, I'm positive.
For me, there was something that Marquise Pouncey said that was in that IG post that I was writing down, Rob, when you was parking. He said, these guys left and they're bitter and they act like they're perfect. Are you saying Ben's perfect? Because I didn't hear you, see, because it's like you're placing...
He didn't say they're bitter. He just said they're mad at the organization.
They're mad and they're what? Act like they're what?
Now they try and point fingers like they are perfect.
Okay. So is Ben perfect? Because he's accepted, because he's blocking for Ben again like Ben is perfect. Skip, we know that Ben is not perfect. We know that Ben has handled some situations wrong. But the fact of the matter is that everybody gets so caught up. Well, he's won this. You can win a Nobel Peace Prize. That doesn't make you a good person or a teammate if you're in a team situation. There have been great doctors that work in a team, and he's unbelievable in his field. But he don't get along with a lot of people. And it's like, well, he's not a team player. Maybe Ben is not a team player, Skip. That's okay. But to sit here and say because he won Super Bowl, he's beyond reproach. Oh, because he led the league in passing, how dare you criticize Ben Roethlisberger? Easy. I do it all the time. That's what I'm here for. If I think something's wrong, I vouch for Ben a lot early on when people took shot after shot after shot at him. But I have the luxury of knowing things that a lot of people don't know.
Really?
I'm not going to get into all that. That's neither here nor there.
Okay.
But I guarantee you can take this to the bank.
Yeah. So are you talking more about his off the field
behavior? No, no, no. I'm talking about in the locker room.
Okay. All right. Because obviously he's not been any angel off the field.
No. He's got for me, Skip, I try when I'm talking about a player as a teammate, I try to keep it football related, locker room and the playing field. What he did outside of that, that's not teammate related.
Unless that misbehavior somehow affects your ability to perform on the football field.
Right. Or riding the motorcycle and all that. Right. That's a good team leader now.
But also you could talk about a judgment. You know what I mean? Like, that's all. What he does off the field is a judgment, and then you don't know how he treats other people behind the scenes.
I want my team leader to get on a motorcycle without a helmet on him. That's a team leader there. That's the kind of leader that we need.
I've known a lot of quarterbacks who were team leaders who were daredevils off the field, like crazy daredevils.
I'm talking about that one. I don't know them.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to thank Rob Parker on behalf of Ben Roethlisberger because you're piling on also, and I'm telling you, you're going to fuel next season's MVP in the National Football
League. Oh, is that what you're...
He is going to wreak revenge on all of you because it has become unbelievably open season on Big Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm going to have to remind everybody, it sounds like he's just some guy who just hangs on to the job year after year, like he's Eli, who doesn't deserve to keep the job.
No, he's still a phenomenal, great player.
Right. Last year, he was third in the league in QBR. He led the league in passing
yards. Did they make the playoffs last year?
Let me finish. He led the league in passing yards, and he had career highs in passing yards, 5,000-plus yards, and in touchdown passes. He threw 34 touchdown passes last year, but it was a troubled football team revolving around the antics and misbehavior of number 84 because he was not a happy camper from the start of camp. And he made waves in that locker room and on the field and on the sideline that are hard to overcome. So they missed out by one game at the end of the year because Antonio decided he didn't want to play or he got sent home or I don't know what happened.
Didn't they win that game? That last game they won, Skip.
Okay, but was he there for them when they needed the most?
No, but they won that game. That's not the reason that they didn't win.
So it's now open season on a Ben Roethlisberger who's been to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them. He's been to 6 Pro Bowls. His overall record as a starting quarterback is 144-69 with 1 tie. But that's a winning percentage of 68%. That's pretty great.
But are they talking about him as a player?
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it's hard if you're a really bad negative, if you create negativity as the leader and face of the franchise, it's hard to keep winning that much. And all they've done is win with Bennett, the starting quarterback.
You make it seem
they've
like
won
he had no
7 NFC North, I mean AFC North.
Well, how many Pro Bowl receivers and how many? So let me see. Jerome Bettis went to the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Willie Parker went to the Pro Bowl.
Boy, they just keep turning them over, too.
James Conner went to the Pro Bowl. Le'Veon Bell went to the Pro Bowl. Hines Ward went to the Pro Bowl. Antonio Brown went to the Pro Bowl.
You don't have enough time.
You make make it seem like he playing with bums and right. Ben Roethlisberger is carrying these guys.
You make it seem like he has nothing to do with all those guys going to the Pro Bowl, because trust me, he had a lot to do with
he it. It goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. See, the biggest misconception is mm-hmm. the receivers have nothing to do with the quarterback play. It's all quarterback play. Stop it. DeAndre Hopkins going to the Pro Bowl and being All-Pro, and he didn't have Pro Bowl quarterback and Hall of Famers and All-Pros. So it goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to do anything that Ben Roethlisberger, I'm not saying he isn't great, but being a great player and being a great teammate is something entirely different. And because what we've done, Rob, is that you win something, he becomes beyond reproach. Mm. How you going to say this about a two-time Super Bowl? Right. How you going to say this about a guy that's third in QBR? Easy.
No, it's longevity. He's 37 years of age, and last year, as he turned 37, he arguably had his best statistical year of his career. He's still playing at a really high level while Eli's not.
But when you say, when the general manager comes out and says he's the unquestioned leader, he's the man, everybody else is kids,
he was making an analogy like you make analogies all day long on this show.
Yeah.
But his point was, he's the only one who's decorated. He's the only one. He's been to Super Bowl. Has anybody else left on that team been to a Super Bowl? No.
Pouncey didn't. Wasn't Pouncey?
I don't think so.
I think Pouncey was a rookie the year they won.
He says he's been with them for 10 years.
I thought Colbert's point was that he's the only one who's been there and done that before.
I think he exposed or really told people that maybe Ben thinks he's that guy and he can say and do whatever he wants.
Every quarterback I've ever covered, and I've covered a whole bunch of them, they all thought they were that guy and they were going to do it their way.
Yes.
Or the highway.
Yeah, but
that's how they operate.
Thinking that.
You've never had one in Detroit, so you wouldn't know.
Wow, what a shot at the Lions.
Thinking that and verbalizing that are entirely two different things.
Okay.
You might think one way. And remember what he said, Skip. Now, Le'Veon Bell said, because he won those Super Bowls, the team allowed it to get there. What did Kevin Colbert say? Said if they had it to do over, they would have pulled the reins in on A.B. and Le'Veon a lot sooner. You see, Le'Veon said they allowed this. They hate that they allowed that Le'Veon and A.B. got some power, started being good, and they started bucking back. Well, they see how you treat Ben. James Harrison said, they have a different set of rules. So they see the way you treat Ben. Le'Veon said, hey.
You're going to treat me right.
Oh, AB said, he can do that? I'm going to do it too.
He can go on the radio and blast his teammates.
That's what it is, Skip.
Why can't we? We're good
Thank
players.
You.
We're all
Thank
pros.
You. Now we you see how it works.
You are allowing two malcontents who did not get the money they thought they deserved to make a scapegoat of the quarterback.
AB got a big contract.
Yes. Right?
But he was still, he thought he was way underpaid.
Skip.
Like quickly. But see, his whole point was, I went out for more money. And he got more money.
But here's the thing.
No, at the end of the contract, because there was no guarantee left. But at the time when he signed his deal, it was a big deal.
But here's the thing. They could have cut him. Do you think they would, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If AB doesn't say a word, do you think the Steelers are going to cut him after last season? Even though he missed the game, if he didn't cut.
No.
So it wasn't like he was going to make $13 million. Now, he get more upfront money.
Okay.
But the thing is, Skip, see, here again, Le'Veon not resetting the quarterback market, mm-hmm. Le'Veon not taking the $14 million last year has nothing to do with his criticism of Ben.
Mm.
He's saying, yes, it played a factor. It's not the only factor, but it did play a factor because I want to be treated fairly and humanly.
Final point. Marquise Pouncey used a phrase that you always tell me.
Yes.
The phrase.
Yes.
In the black community, when you say, I swear on my kids, you take that to your bank,
right?
You're putting your life on it.
Yeah.
And he wrote it. He didn't just speak it. He wrote it for posterity. I swear on my kids, Ben is a true, and then all caps, leader. Okay? That's not lip service. That's not platitudes or just empty cliches. He's saying, I swear on my kids he's a true leader. Now, again, he plays for Ben. He's his,
you know.
I was going to say, right.
Okay? But still, when you say, I swear on my kids, I think I'm going to put a little credibility on
What about, but the only idea is there are more people on the nay side, and you got to give those guys, Harrison, all these guys are all pro, great football
players. Defensive player of the year.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
And my thing is leader. A leader says, you know what? This is what I do. I'll follow you, bro.
Yeah.
Wherever you going, I'll follow you. You going to follow Big Ben? Because Big Ben hopped on a motorcycle with no helmet. That's your leader.
Mm.
think it's good Pouncey said this, but you've said all along we've been waiting for someone to come to his defense, and it took a long time.
Took a long time.
We've been talking about this guy.
We're about to see the wrath of Roethlisberger next year.
I'm already.
Unleashed.
Are you ready for
Unleashed.
This? He's not winning the MVP.
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently, you guys are fueling the fire. Yeah,
let's do it.
I'm going to one out on the limb.
You well, said it.
Yeah, okay.
You guys betting on this guy?
We'll wait.
We already got, he and I got Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
He's going. It's going to motivate him.
Old Baker.
I got Baltimore.
Old Baker.
Lots to bet on around here.
You're cooking up something right now, Skip.
Thank you for joining us. No mercy. Next up, there is a new favorite in the AFC North. NFL.com released their latest power rankings, and they put the Browns as the 9th best team in the league. The rankings took into account the Browns' newest blockbuster addition, Odell Beckham Jr. Way behind Cleveland are the Steelers. They lost Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown this offseason and are 18th on the list. So this should be interesting between you guys. Shannon, do you agree with those rankings?
Yep, sure do, Skip Bayless. I agree 100%. If I can go 110, if there's such a thing as 110, I'll always wonder, what does 110, 120% mean? I thought 100 was the highest. But anyway, yes, I agree. Given what they added, given the way how they finished the season. Now, one team finished on a high note, and they added OBJ, and they added Sheldon Richardson, and they added Olivier Vernon. One team ended on a on a whimper, and they lost two of the 10 best players, offensive players, in all of football. A top three receiver and a top three running back. That's not conjecture. That's fact.
Yep.
So with that being said, absolutely. Now, I hate playing Super Bowl in March and April because that's not when you win. You start putting this thing together in OTAs and mini camps and training camps.
This is what we do on this show.
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. That's why I said they're absolutely right.
Yep.
And they got another team somewhere behind old Cleveland. We're going to talk about that later, Skip.
Okay.
We're talking about that later.
Talk about them now.
No, I don't want to talk about them now.
He doesn't
It's not their turn to shine. Cleveland get all the glory this morning.
You know, every time you believe in something 110%, that's when you start losing more cases of Diet Dew, right? And I think you're going to lose more cases of Diet Dew.
All I know is Vegas has agreed with one Shannon Sharp while disagreeing with one Skip Bayless because they said...
What do you always tell me about Vegas? Building new casinos because people keep betting on the wrong side, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they're just easing you right into their trap.
No,
right?
They're not.
Yeah.
Because we think alike. Great minds think alike, Skip.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So I want to point out before I launch on this that I love Baker Mayfield. Jenny knows how much I love him. I will root like crazy for him next year. But this is not right because of many factors you did not mention. The first of which, if this Cleveland team had added LBJ instead of OBJ, then you'd have something, right?
Well,
am I right? Am I right?
No.
OBJ is not LBJ, because LBJ, if he went home again and played football, he might be better at football than he is at basketball.
Now, he made the right decision.
Did he?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right,
I'm not sure.
6'8 receivers don't last long.
Okay, so I'm going to remind everyone that all last football season, I had to sit over here and defend Baker Mayfield against your onslaught. You criticized him harshly and relentlessly on this show, Monday after Monday. Oh, he's too little. He's too inaccurate.
I haven't forgotten.
Did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see the interceptions? Did you see the late unclutchness?
Did you?
That's all. Okay, what just flipped? I don't know. Because all of a sudden, Baker's bandwagon.
I saw the improvement.
You saw the improvement after the year ended.
No.
Somehow. Ended, and then all of a sudden.
I saw the way he started playing when he had old Fred. That had old Freddie. When he was in old Freddie's kitchen.
He's in Freddie's kitchen. And by the way, I thank you for bringing up my next point. The Cleveland Browns now have a new head coach who has never, ever been close to being a head coach at any level.
Right.
He has no head coaching experience whatsoever because until mid-year last year, he'd never even been a coordinator. So you're going to bet on Freddie Kitchens? Are you going to trust his going into his kitchen?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting
to
me.
Delegate. That's what you do. I'm going to delegate this authority, and we're going to get this thing rolling.
Okay. And yet, you co-signed on the Giants finally throwing up their hands and saying, no, we got a deal.
Absolutely.
More trouble than he's worth. We cannot win with Odell Beckham Jr. And yet now you're saying the Cleveland Browns are going to win the division with Odell Beckham Jr., which 2 + 2 = 7.
Well,
I don't know.
Where they're hoping for a situation like what the Eagles got when they got T.O. You remember that first year, Skip? That thing was unbelievable. Box office.
And then what happened?
I ain't talking about what happened after that. I'm talking about next year. I'm just talking about this year in 2019.
But the first Philly year.
Yeah.
Was that the one they went to?
They went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Super Bowl. That's the Super Bowl year. That's right. But then he got hurt. But how did they get to the Super Bowl? Without him.
Don't do that,
Skip. They won playoff games. They got to the Super Bowl with no T.O.
He had already put them in position. Yep. They had already had the division sewn up because they had blown the doze off. You remember that, Skip?
I had two leaders of that Philadelphia Eagles team tell me when I was at ESPN that they would have been better off in the Super Bowl without Terrell.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, that's what they told me, and they were two key Eagles.
They wouldn't have scored a point.
Trust me, they were two leaders of
the
football
team. Can you imagine if he'd have been totally healthy?
Yeah.
9 for $1.22 on one leg.
Okay. And they were forcing balls to him, and New England sitting there saying, he can't run a lick.
I couldn't tell.
Well, did he get in the end zone?
No.
He did not get in the end zone.
Don't do that, Skip.
Did they win? No, they did not win.
Well, Tom Brady didn't throw a touchdown pass last year.
Okay, so your point
That's
is?
That's my point there.
He won. He threw a 29-yard pass that won the game.
Was it in the end zone?
Well, how low was the score?
Exactly. I don't care.
Okay, there you
go. You make it seem like the Eagles in that Super Bowl had like 40 points.
Mm. So now we're hearing little bits and pieces from Odell, such as his IG post of yesterday. Mm-hmm. In which he's starting to indicate that he's not all in Cleveland, that maybe it's not the greatest thing that ever happened to him. And so are you going to trust that? Is Vegas going to trust that? Will his emotions be all in Cleveland? Will he take them to Cleveland with him?
Vegas don't read Instagram, so they don't know.
Oh, they don't
know.
Talking
about lately. No.
And then we get to another huge loss for these Cleveland Browns. There's no more Greg Williams, who's now the Jets defensive coordinator. And yet...
You make it seem like he Rex Ryan.
Okay. Well, they had moments last year when they did good things because they were second in takeaways last year in the NFL. That's pretty good. They were seventh in third downs allowed, which is pretty good,
Very good.
Now, overall, they weren't very good because they were 30th in yards allowed and 21st in points allowed. And they lost Jabril Peppers, who was...
Stop it. You make it seem like Jabril...
Well, the last eight games, he might have been the most improved player in the whole National Football League. He's going to make Pro Bowls for the Giants. Just watch.
He's not
Book
Ed
it.
Reed.
Okay? He's not Ed Reed, but it's a loss of their defense. So now, all of a sudden, they... Like, Myles Garrett was there last year, and I keep saying, I don't get him because, boy, he's Adonis. You know, he's Hercules, right? But they finished 22nd, tied for 22nd last year in sacks. So he didn't exactly turn the NFL on his ear.
Would you want to have 30 sacks by himself? So now he has Olivier Burner and Sheldon Richardson.
Okay. Do you like Sheldon Richardson? Because I don't. I just don't like the intangibles. Everywhere he goes, good things don't happen.
Right. Skip, but he was Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay, well, fine. And that team won what? I don't know.
The same thing that Ben won when he was Offensive Rookie of the Year.
All right. Well, they won the Super Bowl.
No, they didn't. They lost in the AFC Championship game to the
the first year.
Yeah. True.
Okay, so the point is that are you sure they're going to be good enough on defense to back up the offense? Because I think they could be obviously explosive on offense. It's the best group of receivers. If Odell is invested in it, which I'm not sure about, they'll be the best core of receivers as long as he can join the core instead of going solo, right?
Yes.
Okay, so do you trust that? Because the team I trust more is Pittsburgh's team. Because look at what
Why do you trust them so much?
Okay? They were tied for first in sacks last year. They added Mark Barron, who I think is a really good player at safety. And then that...
No, he's going to play linebacker.
Yeah, well, but he's like a safety linebacker.
Yeah, he's a hybrid.
But he's, okay. And then... I'm not the biggest fan of Steven Nelson, that starting corner. He started all 16 games for the Chiefs last year, but they got him in free agency, so it will be a slight upgrade at corner for this defense that was already pretty good. And then, to me, I've already told you, Ben is a candidate right now for me winning MVP. Thanks to you. You have fueled it.
What about my homeboy?
Okay.
You make it seem like the other guys are like, oh, you know what? They've been talking bad about Ben, so let's
just
let
watch.
Ben...
Just watch. He's going to unleash. He's going to come out with a vengeance.
He's going to unleash a ton of interceptions.
Okay. Well, maybe he will. But, boy, I still like his weapons a lot because Juju is really good.
Well, Juju.
And you watch. James Washington's going to have a breakout year next year.
Well, he's going to need
that.
He's going to need to have that, Skip, because now Juju is going to be getting the attention that A.B. got. See, you love to say addition by subtraction. No, subtraction is subtraction. Because you don't carry the one when you subtract something. You only do that when you add something.
Okay.
So with that being said, the Cleveland, you know what? We already got due on it. We already got due.
Didn't take long.
You like Dante Moncrief? Because I do. I think he'll be a really good third receiver for them. All of a sudden, you've got weapons. And Vance McDonald, he had a breakout year last year.
I don't
year.
Care if they got Sidney Moncrief. Okay. Well, they still not going to beat the Cleveland Browns.
They
the
had Sidney Moncrief, they'd be in big trouble.
Our viewers at home don't know who Sidney Moncrief is.
They probably don't, but he was really good, he was especially in college.
On the defensive end, he was as good as he got.
I keep telling you that James Conner and Jalen Samuels, that's a 1-2 thunder lightning punch. They're going to be really good running the football next year. Just trust me.
Okay.
That they won't miss Le'Veon at all. Well, they will not miss him at all.
Okay. They didn't have Le'Veon this year. They had Jalen Samuels. They had James Conner. How you missed the playoffs and you got Ben Roethlisberger, who had 34 touchdowns, the most he had ever had. He was 7th in QBR. 5,129 passing yards. How you missed the playoffs with all that then? Your defense led the league in sacks.
Troubled football team. Internally torn apart by one number 84.
Don't do that, Skip.
It happened all year.
You're going to put all on him.
Yep.
You're going to put it all on him.
Put it all on him.
So seven don't bear no responsibility.
Okay, well, he does. I'll give you that. He threw too many interceptions. He threw about half of them in one game against the Browns.
Okay, if you don't mind me asking, how is Le'Veon at fault? Le'Veon didn't even show up.
Okay.
How did Le'Veon get blamed?
I'm not faulting him. I'm just saying James Conner was really good.
He
wasn't
Le'Veon.
He's close. Ben said close enough.
Ben said in the interview, it only Ben, excuse me.
Le'Veon.
Le'Veon said in his interview, the only time he heard from Ben was when it was getting time, he had to make that decision, and he reached out. Up until that point, when James Conner was going good, he didn't want to call. All of a sudden, that thing started skidding up the track. You want to call Le'Veon. Le'Veon said, I ain't got nothing for you, bro. Here he is.
Yep.
Mr. Click.
Jalen Samuels versus the New England Patriots on the way toward winning yet another Super Bowl. Went 19 times for 142 yards. You like that? I like that. I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, we're going to see. We're going to see.
Really? Really?
Okay.
They got this backward. They just got it backward.
No, they don't.
Now, they got the Cowboys almost right, except they put the Eagles ahead of the Cowboys, which is just insane.
I don't know.
You know, the Cowboys, I'll give you their
like. And Vegas say right Baker Mayfield going to be better than that. That's what Vegas say. Now, I don't know.
Really?
They know something. Because they sure do win more than they lose.
Yeah, I don't think they factored in yet Randall Cobb. I'm writing
Oh, okay.
In. Randall Cobb.
They're going to have to reevaluate.
Yeah, I think you got
to
reevaluate because that vaults you up like six spots.
Tex
maybe?
Cobb, corner of the Cobb, don't matter. Cowboys missing the playoffs.
Randall Tex Cobb. I remember. I covered some of his fights against Larry
Holmes.
Beat him. Yeah, he beat him up, man.
He
ruined him.
Wasn't that the fight that Howard Cosell said, I'm done?
He did. I was there in Houston.
Okay, another team that is really looking to make some improvements next year, the Giants. Should they go all in on Dwayne Haskins?
Uh-oh.
We'll discuss his future next. No mercy. Dwayne Haskins was front and center at Ohio State's Pro Day yesterday. He is projected to be one of the top two quarterbacks taken in the draft, along with Kyler Murray. The Giants have the 6th pick and are a rumored destination. Now, a group of representatives from New York, from the organization, had dinner with Haskins on Tuesday, although they're expected to have 38-year-old Eli Manning as their starter again next season. So, Shannon, if Haskins is there, should the Giants take him at 6?
Yes, they need a quarterback badly, Skip, and he's prototypical. He's about 6'4", 227 pounds, and he throws the ball from the pocket. A lot of times, Skip, we get screwed. We automatically think that, oh, he's black. He's a runner. He can't run a lick. That 5.0440 told you he cannot run a lick. He doesn't want to run. He's as good a thrower of the football in college as that we had. I mean, he's the 6th quarterback to throw for 50 touchdowns in the season. That's impressive, and especially playing in the conference in which he played in.
Sure.
And at the end, when they needed him to be at his absolute best, He rose and shined. The big win, comeback win against Maryland. You saw what he did against Michigan. You saw what he did in the Big Ten championship game. And you saw what he did in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So he played on the biggest stage. And when the moments, the lights were the brightest, he shined the brightest. Mm-hmm. So I have no problems with them taking him at that spot. But seeing that Gettleman playing is failure, they probably pass him up and hope they get Daniel Jones. Because you know Daniel Jones went to Duke. You know who the head coach is at Duke. is Cutcliffe, who also coached Eli Manning and Peyton Manning. So you know Skip. Ooh, he ready. He's most like Eli.
So wait, you got Daniel Jones. He's going to be another Manning?
That's what they automatically assume.
Oh.
Skip, you know how this works. Oh, he went to the guru. He was coached. David Cutcliffe, you know he coached Peyton.
He's coached like 50 quarterbacks, and where are they now? I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, is...
No, but he's really good.
Jones, is his last name Manning? I don't know.
I don't know.
Skip, it's hard for me to believe that they could pass this kid up at sixth and hope they're going to be able to land one of these quarterbacks at 17.
Yeah.
Because I'm not so sure. Now you're hoping. People are going to start leapfrogging. Because we know what normally happens, Skip. Once you get a run of quarterbacks, they start going just like that. They're not getting all spaced out. Mm. Okay, one goes at one, and then one goes at 12, and another goes at 18, and another goes at 20. That's not normally how it works. Mm. So for me, Skip, I think it would be a great pick. The Broncos picking at 10, the Dolphins at 13, Washington at 15. Mm-hmm. All those teams need quarterbacks and could potentially trade up. So you don't want to run that risk. But here's something that Haskins has working in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Day was the quarterback's coach
when
Shermer was the OC at the Eagles.
Yep.
So.
Maybe.
You know, he looked good. He looked like I'm not worried about him throwing the ball. But it looked like he had slimmed down from the combine. So that's something that he's going to have to stay on top of because, you know, he has that body
will
add weight rather easily.
Well, he said he's on a new nutrition program.
Yeah. Yeah, I see.
They were hard on him during his college
days.
His fitness, his food.
I see big things in his future, Jenny. I ain't talking about a job promotion.
Huh.
You got to be careful.
What did he run that 40 in at the combo?
504.
5 seconds and 04.
Yeah, so.
So that's. I don't know.
So that just lets you know I know a guy that ran slower than that. He's Usain Bolt compared to that guy. That guy just went on to win a whole bunch of rings.
Mm. So it doesn't matter really.
Six Super Bowls and 9 chances. Whew, that's a lot.
So I ain't really worried about a quarterback being able to run 4-4.
I am not sold on Dwayne Haskins. Not this sold. I'm not 6th pick in the draft sold, and I'm definitely not sold on him going higher than 6. Mm-hmm. And it was amusing to me that his pro day was the complete flip side of Kyler's pro day because Kyler wanted to prove to everybody, I can throw it in the pocket.
Right.
And so Kyler never moved at his pro day.
Right.
Everything was right here. Some of it was under center, but even when he took the snap, he just stood and he fired.
Right.
Because he wanted to show, I'm this guy.
Right.
I'm a pocket passer.
Right.
I can be this guy.
Right.
Dwayne Haskins wanted to show, I can move.
Right.
So he wore his Jordan Retro 11s because they're flashy, man. The black and whites, they just like pop, you know. And so you can focus on the feet and it's all footwork. You know, he's moving and grooving, right? He's all over the place because he wants to show I'm slimmed down and I got some mobility.
Right.
Maybe not downfield mobility, but I'm talking about rollout.
You got to be able to throw the ball from outside the pocket.
Yeah. So that was all impressive. But the reason I'm not completely sold, I've mentioned this before. This is maybe a month or so ago. The Athletic had a breakdown of Dwayne Haskins' season and his projection. And ranked him as a second-round pick. And I'm buying that because of the points that they made, you know, on arm talent. He says, this Ted Wynn of The Athletic says, that Dwayne has good arm talent, but it's not amazing or on par with Kyler Murray's. And it's not. You know what it reminds me of? Remember Byron Leftwich?
Yes.
It's that because he's a big man, because Byron was like 6'5" and had a sweet motion.
But he didn't have that elongated motion
He's not elongated, but the ball comes out the same where it's not a rocket, it's just nice. It's just nice. And is it strong enough to be good? Yes, it is.
Right.
But I'm just saying, we're not talking about any kind of a cannon going on here.
No.
Then the other thing that troubled me the most was Haskins' 70% completion rate is a bit misleading because he completed 70.6% of passes that traveled 1 to 5 yards and then 74% 5 to 10 yards. And he hit those speed receivers with a lot of those little mesh routes a little underneath and then pew, they're gone yards after catch.
Mm-hmm.
And what did those guys time? At the combine?
They had 2 at 4.3 and 1 at 4.4.
Paris Campbell, 4.31, and then Terry McLaurin, 4.35, and then Johnny Dixon, 4.41. That is a track team. That is a track team, man.
Yeah,
you got serious speed on the outside, and you're running a lot of little underneath routes. that break for big. And then those tap fly passes, they count them in your completion percentage, right, where you're just tapping the snap to a crossing, yes, you know, right?
Yeah.
To they're running like a little reverse.
A little sweep.
Right? Yeah, a little reverse sweep. Well, it counts. He was 18 for 18 on tap flies for 170 yards because they're breaking them downfield.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that counted in his you know, projection numbers. And then his passing grade against the blitz was 75.5, which tied for 23rd. So he wasn't great against the blitz. Kyler is really good against the blitz.
Yeah,
it's hard to blitz Kyler Murray.
Yeah, but he'll get those things that you can work on, Skip. I just think the thing is, the mistake that people make is that you try to evaluate players against other players in the draft. And you're going to make that mistake, because if you say, well, this guy's coming out in the draft, well, this guy's not Von Miller, or this guy's not J.J. Watt, you're evaluating the guy. You look at what he did in college. You look at what you need, okay? Do we need this position, and can he fill this position? Now, maybe they believe Eli's going to play for another 5 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe because, hold on, Eli did beat Tom Brady in 2 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So if Tom Brady's playing until he's 42, it's only natural that Eli play until he's 42. Maybe that's the way the Giants thinking.
Maybe.
Skip, they need a quarterback. Now,
I agree with that. But remember, this is dicey, man, because if you pick him at 6, then you've bet the next, 4 or 5 years on him at the least?
Well, you should have picked the quarterback long ago, because you bet the last 5, 6 years on Eli, it got you.
All right. You're right about that, but that's water under that bridge. That's gone.
Well, you're going to be in some more water. You're going to be in the water.
Okay.
And the bridge is going to collapse on top of your head
drown?
If you miss another quarterback.
Okay. Well, are you sold? Is this a sure shot? Is this a can't-miss superstar
there
quarterback?
There is no such things when drafting a player, regardless of the sport.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, except for Kyler Murray.
No, okay, Kyler Murray.
That's 41.
I've seen sure shot. Oh, this guy's can't miss. Oh, he's big. He can run. He can do all.
But there have been. They've come along. John Elway was, to me, he was can't miss, right? Well, was he not can't miss?
Yeah.
That's the guy you take first, and you say, you know what, we're good.
Yeah. Okay, Skip, you got that guy. And Kyler Murray is better than all those other guys. And we knew in 83 that when John came out, he was going to be the first pick in the draft. But you also had Jim Kelly, Marino, Eason, Blackledge, O'Brien. Those guys, those were the guys that you're picking from.
And there were so many rumors about Dan Marino at Pitt that he falls to the bottom of the round.
Fell to him. And so that's what you know Kyler Murray's going to be off the board. So now you're basically picking between Haskins and Daniel Jones and the kids out of Missouri. Those are the guys that you're picking, Lock. So that's what that's the evaluation, Skip. If you're going to take a quarterback at six, those are the three guys that you're choosing from. Lock, Jones, or Haskins. That's it.
Remember, you heard this from me first. Of those three, I wouldn't bet on any of them. For a long term, if you're talking about a starter who can become your franchise quarterback, I'm not betting on any of those three. This is huge. This is your whole football life.
But you know, no matter how well Kyler Murray plays, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's not as
you got me. That is true.
Okay.
Is true.
I just
think he's a very special competitor and player.
I get all that.
Yep.
But if the Cardinals don't have a Super Bowl trophy.
Yep. Well, you saying that about your new man, Baker Mayfield?
Whoa. No, you're the one that.
So if the Browns don't win a Super Bowl, he's a bust?
Baker go get that thing for him.
Is he?
Baker go have
it. What just happened?
Baker go get that thing.
We got role reversal here.
I'm so glad.
Baker have a chef. Baker go have a chef hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Yeah. You did come up with that.
Yeah,
I feel like you got a.
Skip, you can come on over here.
If Baker doesn't win a Super Bowl, I promise you, he'll act like he won a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Either way.
But we'll come on over here, Skip. Get off that Dak train. It's going to lead you nowhere.
Super Bowls, here we come. Plural bowls. Z.
No.
Z.
Plural.
Yes, plural.
Can we just get one? Can we get past?
Yeah.
A couple more playoff games?
Brady-esque.
Okay.
Bobby Brady.
Sometimes you can find a guy in the fourth round who can win Super Bowls, or sometimes you can find a guy in the sixth round who can win a bunch
of Super Bowls. What fourth rounder won a Super Bowl?
Well, I can tell you sixth rounder.
Yeah, I know him too. But I
know him.
So you saying Dak Prescott going to be Tom Brady?
Esque. I said esque.
Yeah.
He's always said esque. No mercy. Well, two of the top teams in the East took care of business last night. The Raptors beat the Thunder in overtime in OKC, and the Sixers came back to beat the Celtics behind Joel Embiid's 37 points and huge block on Kyrie Irving late in the game. Both teams are currently trailing the Bucks, and we are joined by NBA champ and FS1 analyst Dante Jones. Good to have you.
You know what? It's fitting we have a Duke man in the house because Duke is about ready to roll right through the NCAAs to the championship.
Believe that.
Yes, thank you.
Most people don't.
I believe it.
Most people don't, including this man.
Not gonna happen.
You don't want to get him started over here, Dante.
The other team from Carolina.
Really?
That other team. Yeah. Okay, we would need a whole different topic for this debate. Maybe later. Maybe later we'll get into it. But first, I want to ask you, who's the best team in the East in your mind?
In my opinion, the Toronto Raptors are the best team. Just by playoff experience, I'm big on experience when it comes down the stretch. Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Marc Gasol starting right now. Serge Ibaka taking a bench role, which is going to make them stronger and have more depth. I think Jeremy Lin is a big addition. Van Fleet is their backup point guard. I think they have so much depth at the guard position that you're going to be able to withstand a lot of different matchups, a lot of different teams, no matter what, because the playoffs is going to be based on matchups coming down the stretch right now. And Kyle Lowry being hurt is the only part that it scares me right now. Mm-hmm. But I think they are the best team pound for pound. Mm-hmm. Philly would be my 1B, but Toronto is my pick. Mm.
Well, we disagree. I got the Sixers. I got Sixers 1, Philly, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston. Ooh. And Philly is 7-1 with all five of those starters on the court. That's plus 63 in 135 minutes. Mm. And they have the most unstoppable guy. If you don't want to talk about the Western Conference, just talk about the East. Nobody can do anything with him. Right. 7+ feet. 300 pounds, can shoot the three, although I hate sometimes because he falls in love with shooting the three. But once he get that ball down on the block, they dump it down to him. Good night, Irene. Mm-hmm. Marc Gasol can't do anything.
Wait, who is Irene?
Yeah, she was.
I don't know. Who is she?
Well, you can kiss the
catchy
baby.
Nobody gets named Irene anymore, right?
No, that's a bit.
Okay,
that's an old name.
Sorry for the digression.
But now Toronto has a defensive player of the year in Marc Gasol who can at least slow it down a little bit. I'm not saying he's just stop him. He's the best center in basketball. Joel Embiid is.
Yeah.
But they have a problem at the guard position. Their backup point guard.
Yeah.
When things get tough.
T.J. McConnell.
And the shooting is far. Right. Mm-hmm. Like T.J. McConnell and then their starting point guard. Shooting is his biggest issue.
Right.
So that in the playoff stretch coming down when teams are adjusting and making you do things on a third and fourth option, the shooting is going to be the issue. The depth is going to be an issue with Philly. But they do have some unstoppable forces, and Tobias Harris has been an amazing addition.
And Jimmy Butler.
To clutch Jimmy Butler.
Big shot taker and a big shot maker.
Hmm. I'll give you this about Toronto. This is the deepest team probably in the league.
You're absolutely.
Because once you throw in, like Jeremy Lin comes in and just lights it up for them. Patrick McCaw, who Jerry West used to love. That was a Jerry West pick. He's on their bench. And Van Fleet started last night, but man. And all of a sudden, Siakam is turning right before your eyes into a star. Is he a star? He's looking like he scored 33 last night. He looked like a star to me.
He was unbelievable last night.
Yeah. So the problem with this team is they got this guy, number two, who used to play in San Antonio.
You got to get over that.
Sometimes he plays and sometimes he doesn't play. When he does step on the floor, he's really good because once upon a time he was the best two-way player in basketball. I don't see the defense quite the way I used to see it in San Antonio, but the offense is really good.
He's elevated that aspect.
He has elevated that. I will give you that. And he seems to be on a little bit of a mission to say, I'm still here, I can still do this, because he wants to go free again next year and see where he can land, who knows where. But the problem is he plays like a third. I mean, he plays like two-thirds of the game, misses about a third of the game. So in the playoffs, are you gonna show up every night? I don't know.
He played 42 minutes last night.
Okay, and boy, I don't know what their next game is, but he'll be off that game. I can tell you
I mean, you know.
That's just how you do it?
Yeah.
Load management, right?
Yeah.
It's just the new
just
way.
Like Embiid. Embiid missed the night before and came back and gave you 40-plus minutes last night.
Yep. So, for once, I'm with Shannon Sharp on something because all the stats for the whole year, all the stats say Philly is the fourth best team because all their stats say fourth, right?
Right.
All the stats say Milwaukee, 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 and then Toronto, 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 all the offense, defense stats.
Okay.
But remember, Philly is just now, to your point, they're just now coming together. New additions. Tobias Harris just came at the trade deadline, and they're still trying to feel their way with Jimmy Buckets. How does it work? What's the pecking order? And I think Joel Embiid and Jimmy finally made peace. Like, like Embiid said after the game, he is our closer. I think it took a while for Embiid to say, he's our that's a lot. You got to swallow some pride and say, that guy gets the ball the most down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Not me, that guy. I do what I do, and he did it. Boy, 37 and 22. But that's the best starting five. Not saying the best bench. Mike Scott, I don't love him. He's still trying to find his way.
He gets freaky. Now, he'll light you up. But guess what happens come playoff time?
Yeah.
You don't use that bench that much.
No. Nope.
You shrink the bench. You go three. It might start off the first two rounds. You go eight. Go eight deep. Come championship. Ooh.
Okay, so I got you.
Who has the biggest eight? Who has the best eight?
Okay, do they miss?
Still, Toronto has the best eight.
Okay, does Philly miss Bellinelli and Ilyasova from last year? Because
they're really good.
They
definitely miss Bellinelli. Yeah, yes. They wish they had kept him. But we still got Bobo. What are they going to do with Bobo? We put Bobo in there.
We got Serge.
Serge can't do no Bobo. Bobo by
Serge is the starting center for the team that was on the number two seed right now.
Yeah.
And he's coming off the bench. And Jeremy Lin scoring.
Yep.
Van Fleet, who makes the right play, as we saw last night. If they shrink their bench to eight, they got a good eight coming in. Yeah. And if anything happens and you get in tough situations, you got 10.
Y'all going to have to expand y'all bench because y'all saw Joel Embiid shoot 21 free throws last night. He going to foul both of your bigs out. What you going to do with it?
I think there's playoff adjustments for a situation like that. When they don't have as much shooting,
yeah.
Tobias Harris is off the floor. They don't have that much shooting. I mean, he got some big buckets for them. That's the biggest addition that makes them that like in this conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
But Milwaukee as your number two,
yeah.
That's a tough one because Brooklyn and Miami dominate them during the season. Right. So they got to get past the first round and those expectations. I think that is going to be the upset of the playoffs coming up.
Or you think Milwaukee going to the first round?
Depends on if they get Brooklyn or Miami. Yeah, I think they got a big shot.
Hmm. Brooklyn or Miami.
Right, because the 50-40-90 guys might not play.
Right.
Malcolm Brogdon, who is imperative to their success.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Whew. Okay.
Well, we got
what did I just tell you?
And the bunch of them didn't even play good last night and they still won. Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons had a whole hum night. You know he'll walk in triple dub. Mm. He like Bron. All he is a bigger Bron without a jump shot.
Speaking of Bron, is it possible he got out of the East just in time?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Nah.
Yeah, he skipped. Why you keep doing
I'm
that?
I'm serious.
No, Cleveland Cavaliers would have been still the best team in the East.
Do you think so?
I think so.
I don't know. I think your man might have been having a long, hard run here.
I heard every team in the Eastern Conference sent Bron a thank you.
Huh.
Yeah, I say thank you for leaving. Because they don't know what's going nowhere with him there.
Is Milwaukee better than they were last year? Yeah. I mean, I know they don't have Brogdon now.
They still can't do nothing with that guy.
Okay. But still, are they better? Is Toronto way better than they were last year?
Yeah.
And the irony was, I never liked DeMar DeRozan. Like, he was like a real poor
man. Oh, but now he's on your team that you love him.
I didn't love him last night, but I mostly love him.
I bet you wish you had number two.
Not last
night. Oh, yeah. We rallied furiously,
and then Dwayne said, nope, not here.
Kawhi would have never let y'all get in that situation. Kawhi would have never let y'all get down by 20.
He never even played. He quit.
Skip, you talking
about... No, I mean, he flat out quit.
1 year ago.
No, I'm serious. He just quit.
Deep thigh bruise.
He played 9 games. They.
I don't think he quit.
He made like $30 million to play 9 games, and he kept saying, I got a thigh bruise.
Yeah, you know how thigh bruise?
I wore pads my whole career because a thigh bruise might be the one thing I did not want to happen, period, point blank, because they can linger and they can affect your performance.
Extremely high contact. You were almost like a football player basketball.
He is, too.
He is not.
Yeah. He's pound for pound the best two-way player in basketball, pound for pound.
Okay. All right.
And when he decides what he's going to shut somebody down, there's really nothing you can do.
Hmm.
He showed you that with KD before.
Well, we saw him
in that
shut
playoff
himself
series.
Down like nobody could shut
You got to take care of yourself first. You got to take care of yourself first.
Hey, you got to get that bag.
Huh?
Absolutely correct.
He wanted out of Little San Antonio.
No. He wanted
that bag. He wanted out.
No, y'all confronted him. Y'all put him in a chair, put the lights on him, and had Tony Parker. I tore mine off the bone.
No,
my injury was 1,000 times
he said
worse.
100, and it was 100 times.
He didn't want to be Isaiah Thomas.
Huh?
He didn't want to be in a situation Isaiah Thomas is now.
He had a bruised thigh.
But we don't know.
Well,
what is on the paper, we don't know exactly how he felt. Isaiah Thomas
thought he had a bruised hip. He thought he had a bruised hip.
Correct.
And look where they got him.
You know what happens to hips.
Yeah.
Ask Bo Jackson
what happens,
when
happens to
you start messing with your hip.
Kawhi didn't want that to happen to his thigh.
Career ending happens.
tendinosis.
I got a thigh bruise. How many thigh bruises did you have?
Skip, that's
different. Like every week?
That's a
different. Like every week?
First of all,
I
played football with no pads on. But that's different. We play different. That's different.
Got a thigh bruise.
He had tendinosis, which is a more severe, higher-end thigh bruise.
You know what? The word tendinosis, it's like the equivalent of flopping in injuries. Like, it's exaggerating the injury. It's like a flop.
No, you don't believe that in that injury at all.
I do not. He had a thigh bruise.
No.
He's still got something going on because I can't play after.
He obviously has something going on. Like, he has something that they have to monitor and take care of. Yeah. Even the Toronto Raptors are doing the same thing. So,
you know,
it's carrying over.
On?
But when he plays, he still he dominates.
When he decides, he's going to have that night.
He dominates.
I give you
that. You're right.
Come on to the Lakers, Kawhi. We'll let you have off, you know. You only got to play with like 65 games a year.
Really?
That's it.
You're in charge of the load
management
now.
Maybe LeBron could like switch off every other night.
No.
You know, play, they could each play one night.
Come on, AD. KD, we'll get us a squad. We'll get us all a star squad. We'll get Kyrie, AD, KD, and Kawhi.
Really?
Yep.
It may take that to lift.
Wow, that's a heck of a cap right there.
Sorry, Shan, you're going to have to wait a little longer.
Yeah. Oh,
we got $600 million for y'all. Div it up however you want to.
Is LeBron entering his 17th year?
And still giving folks that work.
Really?
That's not a problem.
Not a problem?
No, none whatsoever. Still giving that work, Skip.
Really?
No.
Well, he gave 18 games of no work.
Skip, the man was there.
Well, now he's
so people can't be injured in your book, huh?
No, that's
people don't get hurt in a perfect world.
He pulled his groin, then he tweeted the next day, back in no time, dodged a bullet. I'm saying, okay, you're
Skip,
Iron Man.
Skip, you getting injured and doing what you do, okay. and one of these guys getting injured.
Okay, but he tweeted it. I didn't tweet it. I didn't make it up for him. Yeah.
So he didn't tear it off the bone. Jeez, dodged a bullet. Praying hands.
Either way.
Okay.
The season that
I don't know.
We wish would end differently for Shannon's sake, because now we're going to have to listen
to
him say this for the next couple months. Dante, good to have you always. Thanks for joining us today.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.